Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you're anywhere in the GovCon world, this podcast is for you. Today, we're talking about communication and context yet again, this time in relation to the customer, the government customer. And as we'll discuss, customer is a term used by both government folks and industry folks. This episode is brought to you by Skyway Acquisition. Check it out at skywaymember.com. If you want to learn more, I'll cover that at the end of the episode. All right, let's get started with the educated customer. Who is the customer in GovCon? We sometimes confuse that. It's not always who you think it is. It's the person with the need. Government people often call them the user. It's the person or people who are actually using the product or service that the contracting officer is acquiring.
In episode 296, we talked about the role of the contracting officer. And as a contracting officer, I was not the customer. I didn't have the need. That's what the customer, this user that you talked about, they had the need. I didn't have the solution to meet that need. Industry did, right? And I didn't have the money. The economic decider, which we'll talk about in a second, they had the money. So the contracting officer stitches all those together. For more on those three roles, the economic decider, the customer, and the contracting officer, check out episode number 118. It's called The Three Deciders. But here's the interesting part, though. The customer, this is user, this is the customer for both the government contracting officer and for industry. They're both trying to serve the same customer. Coincidentally, or ironically, both industry and government are focused on the same person or the same group of people, just from two different angles.
Yeah, so today we're going to dig into how two groups, the industry and the contracting officer, are both serving the same customer and why it helps, how it helps to educate that customer. But first, let's stop and say thanks.
Thanks this week goes to Scott Ragsdale from Nutanix. Nutanix provides infrastructure management software to a variety of federal customers. Scott leads their support team for their Army, Air National Guard, and Special Operations Forces, and he's in the Tampa, Florida area. I want to thank Scott for liking and sharing our content, as well as reaching out to give me his feedback about our podcast. I mean, the great thing about the podcast is that we can reach thousands of people, but the bad part is we have no idea who they are. So when folks like Scott raise their hand to talk with us, we learn how to continue to serve our listeners and to make government contracting better, one contract at a time.
Thanks, Scott. All right, back to the customer. Who is the customer? In GovCon, as you mentioned in the intro, there are three deciders, three groups, really, of people who decide on who wins a contract. And those three deciders are the customer, the person, people, the group with a need, a requirement, the economic decider, who controls the money, has the money, and the contracting officer, who uses the economic decider's money to buy things that meet the customer's requirements.
All three players are needed. In a vacuum, the customer and the economic decider will find a great solution that they have money for, but they don't know how to actually buy it. They don't have an acquisition strategy to actually be able to buy it.
Yeah, and only the contracting officer can actually sign a contract and obligate the government's money. So without the contracting officer, they really can't buy anything of any size. They could have met the credit card thresholds, but that's another story.
Yeah. That's a different episode. That's right. Episode 301, I think. Also in a vacuum, if the customer and the contracting officer are working by themselves, they'll develop an unawardable plan because they won't have any money to pay for it. Contracting officer will have a great acquisition strategy to buy exactly what the customer wants, but they won't have any money.
Or
not enough money.
That happens a lot.
Yeah, there's lots of stories about how that happens. And then the last example is when the contracting officer and the economic decider are making a plan on their own. They have a great acquisition strategy to buy a great product that the customer doesn't actually want. So all three have to be at the table and have to be talking and working together.
Industry folks normally interact with only two of those three, with the customer and the contracting officer. They can interact with all three if the acquisition is big enough, and we've covered that in other episodes as well, how getting the money people involved can help drive an acquisition outcome.
Yeah, that was in episode 126, where we revisited the 80-20 rule.
Of the three deciders, industry is usually going to interact with two, like I said, customer and contracting officer. And of those two, the contracting officer is always involved, right? If it's even if it's only to sign the contract, there's got to be a contracting officer involved. Industry may not have a lot of interaction with the customer, although in practice, they should interact with the customer more than generally happens. The customer is in sort of a unique spot here because as the government customer, you're the customer for industry. You're who industry is delivering whatever they're delivering to, the products or services. But you're also the customer for the contracting officer, right? Both the contracting officer and industry are focused on serving you as the customer, but from different angles. And the contracting officer and industry often want different things out of it and sometimes conflicting things.
I think the government customer is the one that has the actual need, right? So the contract exists to serve them. But to your point, contracting officer and industry, they sometimes have conflicting approaches on how to do that. Because remember that the contracting officer does not have the need or the money. As a contracting officer, I'm taking the input from the customer and the money from the economic decider, and I'm solving a problem with industry's help, right? So the CO's role is to decide how to get that help, how to get the product and the service for the customer. I'm serving as the conduit to the customer. I'm not actually the customer.
Yeah, that was always interesting to me. Like being in a government program office, we talked about the customer, and that's the folks that have the requirement, the actual mission, the folks that are accomplishing the mission is the customer. And my industry counterparts would say the same thing, the customer. But when they said the customer, they usually thought of it as the government overall or right. The acquisition office, which customer for the moment in order to get the award done, but not the customer that really matters in the end.
Customer for the moment. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah. The goal of the contracting officer is to serve the government customer, the mission, by acquiring what they need, by acquiring something that meets their requirements on time, on budget, blah, blah, blah. The goal of industry is to serve that customer by delivering what they need. First, it's to win the contract. But once you win, the acquisition office is often out of the picture. The goal is to deliver what that customer needs, the user, while making enough money to serve your shareholders or your owners or whatever, and be able to afford to do that again next time.
It's ironic. As a contracting officer, if I do my job really well and award a contract that works smoothly, you probably won't see me that much after award.
Right. That's
because I'm not the customer.
Yeah, you know? That's a good outcome. Let's look at this a different way. Like the go through our usual what happens in your real life, not your work life, why this is important. Why is it important to educate your customer? Why can an educated customer make the whole acquisition process easier, right? Though it's more difficult if the customer doesn't understand how things are bought or any of the details. If they're just like, I have this and I need it now.
I was putting a roof on my house. Okay, that's the requirement. So in this story, I'm the economic decider and the customer and the contracting officer, but just follow along here.
triple personality Kevin here.
There we go. This will be fun.
Jekyll, Hyde, and the other guy.
The other guy. So the need is I need a new roof. Okay, it's a 20-year-old roof. And so customer Kevin wants a tile roof to be put on this summer.
Yeah, because that looks cool. And that's the of course, if you're the customer, you want the coolest looking roof, right?
Exactly. And you want it now, which is in the middle of the summer. So customer Kevin has to educate himself on the requirement. So in order for contracting officer Kevin to know what to buy and how to buy it, we need information, context, market research to say, okay, what is the art of the possible? Okay, what can we actually get a tile roof, et cetera? So we figure out how long it takes, the difference between using things like nail guns and hand nailing, which that's a whole conversation. It turns out hand nailing is actually supposed to be better, but it just takes longer. A tile roof versus a shingle roof versus a metal roof, which are pretty popular here down in Florida. And even the time of year, because it turns out that the cost of putting a roof on in the summer is a lot higher. Like you could save yourself over $1,000 by doing it in March versus August. So as an educated customer, Kevin is better able to state the real requirements so that contracting officer Kevin can go out and acquire it. And then, of course, economic decider Kevin can actually, you know, fund it. So if I went with what customer Kevin knows about roofs, which was not much because he said, hey, I just want a tile roof. And contracting officer Kevin would have went out and attempted to buy a tile roof in August and used the economic decider Kevin's money to pay too much for something that we didn't need at the most expensive time of the year. That's a poor choice, right? So if customer Kevin had some context on things like dead of summer is a bad time to put a roof on, tile roofs are a lot more expensive, they're actually heavier, et cetera, okay? So once I had context, now the three Kevins, this is, again, hang with me here, the three Kevins can update their strategy, and we ended up, so spoiler alert, bought a textured single roof that I put on in May right before the prices went up. So because all three deciders knew what was going on, we're able to get a good solution on time, actually ahead of schedule, and saved, you know, a pretty good amount of money. And by the way, it rained the day after I got my roof done. So happy ending.
All right. So that's a crazy circular story. Actually, just goes around in circles with the three Kevins. But in your own life, when you're making decisions, we've talked about this on a bunch of episodes. You are the customer and the economic decider and the buyer in a lot of cases. In the government world, doesn't work that way. In industry, it doesn't either, right? Unless you're a small company where you have all three of those powers, if you're in a bigger company, there probably are money people and buying people and requirement people. If they aren't communicating, if they don't have context, you run the risk of buying something that is way more or way less than you actually need to meet your requirements, and paying either way too much or way too little for something that doesn't meet the needs.
Especially work.
Yeah. Yeah. You run the risk of screwing up the timing, not getting it when you actually need it, like before the rain comes, or buying it the most expensive time of year instead of the low point. That context matters. And like you told in the story, customer Kevin is the impatient one. The customer is like, I want this. I've already decided this is what I want, and I want it now. They don't necessarily care about the process. They don't necessarily care about the price if it's not all their money, if they're spending someone else's money. So without context on all the options available for how to buy this and what we can buy and the impact of those options.
Exactly. The impact's the big deal.
The acquisition strategy might not be aligned with the impatient customer's needs. Looking at this from the price perspective, we've talked about services contracts and how often services contracts are driven down to lowest price for the people, for the services that you need. For some services contracts, low price might be an okay plan. For others, low price means that industry can't staff the contract with the people that have the experience and the skills to actually meet the mission requirements. So yes, congratulations, you got the lowest price, but you're not going to meet the mission.
Putting this back on the roofing story, if we go with a couple of teenagers who are on summer break and I give them a pile of shingles and a couple of hammers and some nail guns, the economic decider is going to love that. And economic decider Kevin's going to love that because it's going to be cheaper. And contracting officer Kevin's going to love that because it's going to be faster. But once the first rain comes, customer Kevin's going to be really upset that it didn't actually work. So we have to be very careful that all three of those understand the context of faster, better, cheaper.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. The contracting officer could find a crew of teenagers faster than getting quotes from multiple companies and looking at everything. You could pull the first people you found off the street. It doesn't mean that the job's going to get done right. And that's maybe a stretch when we're talking about a major government services contract. But to me, it kind of feels the same way, right? If the three deciders aren't aligned on how much it costs to do the job right, mission could suffer. Before we talk about how that happens, let's pause and link this to the acquisition time zones and the execution time zones. On the acquisition side, assume there's a requirement. The market research zone helps refine that requirement. Then it's released in the RFP zone when the final request for proposal is released. And then there's a source selection. There's some kind of decision process. That's when all three of those deciders being aligned with the educated customer matters.
And then during the execution time zones, during the performance zone in particular, we see, did this actually work? We reap the benefit, or we feel the pain. Yeah. Of did the overall communication of the between the three deciders, did the educated customer get what they wanted? And then during the recompete zone, hopefully we correct what didn't work or build on what did. And if you're not familiar with the acquisition time zones, they're in episode number 3, and the execution time zones are in episode 84.
All right, on the government side, I think we've spent a lot of time talking about why the government cares about educating their customer.
When you're serving the customer, again, the government customer, the contracting officer has to walk the line between what the customer wants, tile roof right now, and what can be actually done with, and here's the important part, within the regulations, okay? Yeah. Within the process that exists, right? So maybe the roof story falls apart here. Now we're talking about actual contracts, right? But sometimes these are opposing forces. Okay, what the customer wants and what the contracting officer can just do, they're not often the same thing. And educating the customer, what is the art of the possible? I mean, Steve Lucianetti on our team, he always talks about, as a contracting officer, I want to be able to tell them no, comma, but here's how we can do it instead. Like, have that, but here's how we can do it. That's the context that the customer is often missing.
Yeah, I was thinking about your example of hiring the crew of teenagers, right, as the expedient way to get a roof on your house. There's actually regulations that come into play there, right? Contracting officer Kevin has to think about, well, these teenagers are not licensed to do business. Oh yeah, also, they don't have any insurance. So if one of them falls off the roof, then their parents might own my house after that, right?
Exactly.
But so there are regulations that have to be followed in your non-work life as well. But that is the big challenge, right? The contracting officer is the one that has to bring all this together and make sure that the acquisition strategy follows all the rules and that the resulting contract is going to follow all the rules. And that's where a lot of times the conflict occurs. From the industry side, industry wants an educated customer. And in most cases, it's up to industry to educate the customer. Without an educated customer, industry risks the government thinking that it's easier to deliver it than it really is, or that it's harder to deliver this than it really is. If we're talking services, some types of service may be scarce, like top secret cleared software developers. We talk about that all the time. That's an industry that it's hard to find skilled, experienced people that have the right kind of clearances.
Other niche skills like certified diving instructors to help with, you know, military training. Or here's one, certified welders. Construction market is really big in a lot of areas, and welders who can do they're in high demand all over the place, just like your software developers.
Right? Yeah, timing matters too. We already talked about business cycles, right? Right. Getting a roof at the high point of summer is more expensive than other times of year. Why? Maybe because in Florida, it's too hot to be on a roof in the summer, so they charge you more.
And it takes them longer because they have to get off and hydrate, and it rains and then stops in the middle. That's a big part. They got to put a big blue tarp over your house because it rains, all that kind of stuff.
But if the customer doesn't have any context on these cycles, on what things are hard to find, what things are expensive, when's the best time to buy, is there a breakthrough in the technology or the way that this is done that changes the way it's delivered? If the customer doesn't have any context, the acquisition strategy is going to reflect that lack of context, and you're not going to buy the right thing for the right price for your mission.
In addition, you have schedule risk. You might not buy the right thing for with the right solution, but you might not get it at the right time. And right. So the example of my roof, right? If I wait another year, it may actually leak. It's an old roof. I mean, the sun, you know, beats them down. So you do have to meet it within the schedule that you have, the schedule that the customer needs.
And right.
the customer has to have context on, is that a reasonable schedule? And what parts of it are unreasonable, and how do we work around those? All of those take communication.
This is why it's important for government to be open with what they need to buy, how they intend to buy it, so that industry can say, that's not going to happen in 12 months. That's right. A 24-month job right there. Or you're saying 24-month delivery schedule, we can do that in 9 months. You're way off rate. This is where industry, you have to get in there and talk to the customer. You have to understand their needs and help them understand how to buy it and how to scope, how to spec out what they need. And if you're doing it right, it's scoped or spec'd out to the way that you have the greatest advantage in the upcoming acquisition competition. So we talked about delivery and schedule. There's also profit to think about. I think most government customers probably want the contractor that is delivering their mission critical supplies or services to make a fair profit. I guess even if it's not mission critical, you want the contractor to make a fair profit because that means they probably won't cut corners on your deliveries, right? You don't want a distressed contractor trying to get it done for the least amount of money possible because the price is too low, right? The economic decider and the contracting officer may drive price or profit to the low end. The selection criteria in the source selection, whether it's a big one or a little one, you know, this could be a credit card buy or it could be a 6-month source selection. But either way, the selection criteria can drive you to selecting the low price. And just like everywhere else, you get what you pay for. Profit is not a bad thing. That's how companies stay in business, and that's how companies serve you. That's how companies deliver. Profit gives companies the ability to deliver on time, on schedule, with high quality. When they start getting starved for profit, all those suffer. All right, Kevin, I think we've suffered enough or made the listeners suffer enough on this one. Let's wrap it up.
On the government side, communicate with customer, with your customer, and with industry. Front load those communications. We talk about this a lot, early as possible in the acquisition process so they have context. Your educated customer needs to be able to communicate with industry, and without context, it's just not going to work as well. There are two sides to this. The contracting officer needs to communicate with the customer. Okay, listen to the customers for context. Do they want a tile roof? Why? Okay, ask them about the price floor. Things like, if you really want a tile roof, you're not going to get it for that price. Let's go talk to industry and find out.
You need to understand whether or not what you need can be bought for the money you have, right? And at what price, if you try to buy it for less than that, it's impossible to get anything that meets requirements, right? There's a line that you don't want to go below.
Exactly. In addition, as a contracting officer, you need to explain the likely result of each acquisition strategy to the customer. Okay. They're not going to get every nuance of it, but they need to understand if we go straight to GSA, here's what might happen. If we do a multiple award IDIQ for this simple requirement, here's what might happen. If we do a standalone contract for this complex requirement, here's what might happen. That educating them, the customer, so they understand the basics of what's going to happen.
If we don't align the evaluation criteria to the things that are most important to us, we're going to end up choosing based on low price. And then that's what you're going to get, right? Government customers aren't in the acquisition world in most cases. They might do a tour through there, but if the contracting officer doesn't take the time to give them that context, bad things can happen.
Likewise, the contracting officer needs to communicate with industry.
Yeah.
Ask questions to verify the claims and understanding of what the actual need is. Like what information do they actually need to be able to give you context? Like you talked about, Paul, is this something we can do? And we think it's 24 months and industry says, technology's changed, approaches changed. We can do that in less than half the time. And then also as a contracting officer, which I've done this more, ask what's changed. Kind of like what I was talking about there. What is faster now? What worked last time that might not work now? Or what is the approach we used to use that doesn't make sense anymore? That only happens. Well, not only. It's more likely to happen when the contracting officer is communicating with industry at the same time they're talking to the customer.
And industry folks, remember that the best outcomes for you happen when you're communicating with the contracting officer and the ultimate customer. The contracting officer is your customer for this part of the acquisition, but not who you're going to be delivering to. And that customer is the biggest part of the evaluation, at least in larger acquisitions, right? Target early so that you can shape early. Know your customer before that request for a proposal comes out. If you're seeing it for the first time when it's posted on contract opportunities on beta.sam.gov, you're probably too late. When you're talking to the customer, explain the impact of the acquisition strategy they're thinking. What happens if this is awarded to the lowest price? Or what happens in a cost type contract versus a fixed price contract in this situation? Is it mature enough for a fixed price contract? The better you understand the requirement, the better you can help shape the acquisition to something that will actually accomplish that goal for the government folks. They may not understand what happens when they release this as a sealed bid, when it's in no way aligned to how sealed bids are supposed to work. The same kind of conversation should be had with the contracting officer, but it's a little bit different tilt, right? With the contracting officer, you're talking more about the nuances of acquisition strategy. They probably have more depth with that. They care about the impact of their acquisition strategy. If you say these evaluation criteria or this contract type means that this is what we have to do and that doesn't get you what you want, contracting officers will listen. If you're too blatant and what the contracting officer is hearing is, well, this acquisition strategy doesn't let me win, but this other one, like, that's how I win. Right. Yeah, you can't just try to shape these things so that you win. You have to shape it to be awardable and still work in a way that's awardable where you have the greatest advantage. But the contracting officer hopefully is hearing this from multiple sources and comes out with a strategy that gets them what they want that allows real competition.
The critical part of this is that industry needs to understand the acquisition strategy enough to know whether that strategy will deliver for the customer. And if you show as industry that you understand the acquisition process, that's the part the contracting officer cares about. Yeah. That's the language you want to come to the table with, to your point, Paul. It's like, here's how I win. That's not the point. What they need to understand, when you do it this way, bad outcome. The customer will not be served. It'll take longer, cost more, get the wrong thing, etc.
Yep.
But you need to understand the acquisition strategy in order to for the contracting officer to hear you.
And for the customer to understand, since we're talking about educating the customer. All right. That's it for today, Kevin. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. I'll see you, Paul.
Okay, that's it for today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we invite you to check out the Skyway community at skywaymember.com. Skyway's team of contracting officers is there for you to help you understand your customers and how to communicate with their customers and who your customer is at a certain point of time during the acquisition time zones. To learn about community membership options or custom consulting, call us at 877-884-5280 or go to skywaymember.com. All right, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.